We bring you greetings from Malawi. I come thanking this congregation for the many wonderful things that you have done in advancing the cause of Christ in another part of the world. For those of you who have had an opportunity to visit, I believe that you can testify to the fact that God is doing some amazing things in that foreign country. For those of you who are not familiar with this work, we'd like to sort of quickly bring you up to date about some of the pros and some of the cons that have happened this past year in this particular effort. This is our late brother, James Mboi Niondo. He ran for president of the nation of Malawi in 2014, and he actually passed from this world in 2015. James and I became very good friends, and he was also a friend of this congregation. There were many people here who knew him and who loved him. 2 days before James passed from this world, he and I were speaking, and he said to me, "You know, Larry, nobody ever goes to Malawi or goes to the small African nations to preach the gospel to the villages. Most people visit the major cities and the major metropolitan areas, and they consider their work as a missionary complete." And I called him back the next day, and he was not able to speak with me, and the second day he passed from this world. This was on my mind for a number of months after James' death. And then sometime toward the end of 2015, I went to the elders, and I told the elders that I would like to go to Malawi to preach the gospel. And if they had not known James, I don't think many of us would have known where Malawi was even in this world. But Malawi is a small nation in Central Africa, about some 17, 18 million people. The population is expected to double sometime within the next 10 years. So what we're trying to do as a missionary to this, to that country and really to that region, is to set a footing for the preaching of the gospel, for the advancement of the cause of Christ, for future generations. We're trying to do that actually through the Lord's churches and also through the public educational system. I have about 46 slides that I want to show, and I want to go through them real quickly. Some items I'm going to deal with in detail, and some I'm not going to spend a lot of time at all. The first thing that happened when I got back, there was we had purchased a vehicle for our work in Malawi, and the vehicle was wrecked. It was wrecked by Dominique Munyanyambi, who was one of my assistants. To make a long story short, through this process, we found a number of things out about Dominique that really none of us knew. He was drinking when the accident happened. We had given him the funds to go pay for what we call full coverage insurance. They call the other liability coverage third party. We had given him the money to go pay for that. It was about $1,700. We found out after the accident happened, he did not do that. We had given him $4,700 to pay the taxes on the vehicle. We found out that he had not done that as well. So we went through an extensive investigative process, and we came to the conclusion that this responsibility is upon us. It's not upon you. It's not upon those people who invested in the vehicle. It's on us. I went to 9 different body shops for them to look at restoring the vehicle to its original candor. And none of those 9 body shops were willing to guarantee me that I would not have problems with that vehicle in the future. So we went to, we actually found one body shop owned by an Indian gentleman who I told him what I wanted done. I wanted it stripped all the way down to the frame, and I wanted any parts that were bent to be rewelded. And I asked him if he could do it. He said, yes. And I was very happy with the confidence that he had. This is the vehicle which is under construction, under reconstruction now. And it should be ready for us when we get back into Malawi to go forward and do the Lord's work. I believe when Brother Kraft was there, this vehicle as it stands right now is probably about 85%. When Brother Kraft was there, it was about 92% complete. Some visitors that we have. I want to explain to you what visitors mean to us in Malawi. When visitors come over, representing the Lord's Church, especially those from this congregation, you raise our profile among the people in Malawi. We don't work like most of the preachers in South Africa. We don't work like most of the preachers in all of Africa. Our work is based on the teachings of the scriptures, and it is predicated on what the early disciples and the apostles did. This is the exact approach we're taking, and it has proven to be a tremendous success for our effort. Here, I know you can't see this very well, but that's Brother and Sister Donaway. Hello. I was so delighted to have my elder to come and spend some time with us. If there's anybody who understands the amount of money that's being invested in the advancement of the cause of Christ, I think that it would be an elder, because they're looking to get the biggest bang out of the dollar. I am a former businessman, so I don't approach the spending of money, I think, like a typical person. Anyone who has ever had to meet a payroll understand there are certain things that you have to always be conscious of, because for everything, there is an expense. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us, according, and I believe this is Solomon, that he says that money is the answer to everything. I believe money is the answer to everything, but you got to be creative in the way that you are managing and spending those resources. Because regardless of how rich a man or a woman or a company is, those resources have a limit. And I want to get the biggest bang out of the money that we're spending in Malawi. Of course, you are aware of the budget that has been given us for this work. I have asked the elders to divide that money into two categories, a portion for me, and the remaining portion is what we spend in Malawi. It's almost like I'm living on the 10%, and the other 90% is being used to fund the work of our Lord, and I'm very pleased with the way things are happening there. As I go forward, I'll explain a little bit more about that. This is Sister Dunaway again in one of the meetings in which we are preaching and teaching on certain subjects. I think on this one, we had three different Churches of Christ groups there, one being the One Cup group and the liberals, and of course the conservatives are all together. And we're talking about those things that separate us. And this, I believe, was perhaps an eye-opener even for my elders, because you don't get this kind of cross-section communication in the Church of Christ. But we are blessed to be able to talk about issues that we have differing opinions on. We go to the Bible, we study, we reason, and we rationalize based on the teachings of the Scriptures. And in most cases, we come out with the harmony that the Bible has intended for us to have. Just a few more people. Patty Kendall, I don't know who knows him, but Patty, he lived, I know, in Athens. Actually, he was born in Africa, and he lived in Athens, and I think he now lives in Birmingham. But Patty came and spent a couple of weeks with us this year, and we did quite a bit of work in the village setting with him. This is, I'll get a little closer picture. This is an elder and his wife, who's also he is a college professor, and she is also a college professor somewhere in the St. Louis, in the Kansas City, Missouri area. They spent about 2 weeks with us this past year, and they have already purchased tickets to spend just about 3 weeks with us this year. So we're indeed grateful for their commitment to the work. Brother and Sister Stevens. I want to make sure that I have my names right on these. All right, this is Brother Tad Corder. He's at the Russellville Church of Christ. We're in Zambia, where they were conducting a meeting, and they wanted us to bring someone over who can actually speak the native language and could actually tell them certain things that they needed to do. So we actually brought Shadrick Nyando, and they had set up several meetings with some of the local preachers. But our work is a little bit different. We try to explain to the local preachers why they don't have to depend on the Western world to provide all of the resources. There are certain things that you can do. Go do it. I mean, we're all here on the same team. We're preaching the gospel. We're advancing the cause of Christ. So what we have to do is use the resources that we have to accomplish that particular end. The next person we have here, I think that's Brother Joe Greer. And Brother Greer, I think the people in this area might be familiar with him. But he is now in South Carolina, preaching full-time at a congregation there. And here you have Brother Steve Klein. I think most of you would be familiar with him if you're familiar with the Athens Bible School at all. So I had the privilege of working with these brethren, and they came in with various ideas about how to do things. And since I got to tell you, it helps being black among black people, so that you can kind of keen in to how these people are thinking. Because in many cases, they will never show a foreigner exactly how they feel about many things. They want to show a good image. Even if they don't understand something, they will say that they understand just so that they don't look bad. So we went through a little bit of this with the brethren, and I think we actually had a breakthrough session, you know, where Brother Klein and my other two brethren from the States really realized how we work with this particular country. This is another visiting preacher we had from the United States. You may recognize him. This is Brother Greg Chandler. And at the end of the lesson, you know, Greg has made a tremendous difference in some of our work effort. And I'll tell you some of the things that he did this year, which was paramount as far as the Malawi prison system is concerned. This is Lazarus Ngolowi, who is a local preacher there, and he also works quite a bit with me. Lazarus goes into the villages, and he set up most of my meetings. When I'm meeting with the village chieftains, we usually make Bible presentation to those, to the chiefs, and we explain to them what our doctrine is. And basically what the chief does, they give you permission to go into the village, and they will even help you organize. Where Americans and Westerners mess up is that we don't give the African chief the credit that he is due. And in that culture, the chief is really somebody. So Lazarus is a person who sets those kind of meetings up for us. And that's why we're able to enter into the village and to go in places where nobody else will go. Yes, we enter into places where idol gods still exist, and we get to preach the gospel to hundreds of people who have never heard the gospel before. This, I think, is Sister Pam, and she is going over lessons with some of the women of one of the villages that we went to. And I don't know how many people in the audience, a couple of hundred, that she's speaking to right now, and that's an interpreter who is working with her. This is Swandile Gazu and Joel Williams and Shadrick Nyando. Shadrick is my assistant. Swandile and Joel both live in South Africa. You're familiar with Joel, as he is the husband of our Brittany Kraft, who is now, of course, Brittany Williams. But these brethren came to Malawi to work with us in a particular meeting. Brother Kraft came, and I would, you know, I don't want to say a whole lot about this because I know he has to make a presentation as well. But I do believe that the things that he saw, they were not necessarily different but they were presented differently. And I think that made all the difference as far as connecting with the mind of the people. I think that's Joel, there is another gentleman standing back there. That's Brother Ed Brand. Brother Brand just happened to be on the plane, and he was meeting an African who was going to take him to another part of Malawi and Zambia to work. But the African wasn't on time, and we were not going to leave Brother Brand there, so we took Brother Brand with us, and we waited and we coordinated with the brother to get with him several hours later. Brother Brand called him and asked him, "Where are you?" "I'm just right around the corner. I'll be there in just a minute." And we found out that the guy was still at the bus station deep on the other side of Lilongwe, which is where we were heading in that direction. All right, this is at the Onions restaurant, Brother Kraft. You remember that? Had a good African meal. These are some of the gospel meetings that we have. And we have these gospel meetings because that's the place where you can get the most people together. We have meetings where nobody has ever heard of the Church of Christ. We have meetings where there's conflict between the one cup brethren and the conservative brothers or the liberal brethren. And God has blessed us to be able to get them to just sit down for a few minutes and to listen. And let's study together. And we study all kinds of subjects, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And some of the guys who are preachers, they said, "We never knew that the context of the Bible was teaching this." But they're not the only ones. You have people getting married, remarried, divorced, and so forth, and not really knowing what the scriptures have said. Many people wouldn't be in the condition that they're in today if they had been taught and trained on certain subjects. So yes, we deal with biblical subjects as they relate to the subject in which we are teaching. This is an area which is just outside of Lilongwe. And I was invited there to speak about denominational churches. And I think that we served them well. I think we had about 20 baptisms there. These are the women, the men on one side, women on another side. That's the way it used to be in America as well. This is a group of people who have been displaced. These are Christians who have been displaced because of the hurricane that came through March, April time frame, and we needed to find out the needs of our brothers and sisters so that we could do what we could to remedy those needs. This is probably about 150 miles or so from Lilongwe, another village setting. We actually went in to teach about the one church, because there is confusion that there are some groups who simply put the name up, the Church of Christ, the Church of God in Christ, and people assumed that the doctrine that they taught was one that was supported by the scriptures. So we go in and we address those particular matters. These are some of the women in that same setting. This, I think, is another group. And this is another setting here. And in this setting, I think we have Aaron Chandler, who is teaching some of the women. And I don't know if that's Aaron or Pam, but I'll just quickly go through it. This is another area where Brother Chandler was with us. And I think that we were anticipating something in the neighborhood of maybe 400 people. It ended up being somewhere between 600-700 people. But this is the way most of them are. We always underestimate. And the reason we underestimate, because when anybody comes, they're not going to say, "Larry gave us a bogus count." If anything, you're going to say, "Well, Larry said there was going to be 500 people. Well, there's 900 people." Well, isn't that a blessing? But that's because we have people who work the area. Lazarus and Shad they would go spend several days in the villages and talking to chiefs, talking to Church of Christ preachers, talking to denominational preachers who want a better understanding of the gospel, even talking to Muslims. And we have been blessed to baptize some Muslims, and you would not believe what a difficult task that is, but God has really blessed us with that. I think at this meeting there were maybe 700, 800 people there, and Brother Chandler was the preacher who was speaking to this audience. This is the same group. We have what we call breakout sessions, where we may be teaching a particular subject to the females, another subject to the young people, another subject to preachers and church leaders, and we have dedicated time that we try to do that. Now, when we're preaching, normally I think an hour is an absolute minimum for me. Am I right, Brother Dunaway? About an hour. Everybody said two thumbs up on that one. For some reason, the African, they want to know more. They want to hear more about the gospel. We normally have at least an hour to an hour and a half preaching session. And then at least an hour generally on question and answers. So we're never opposed to answering anyone's questions about what we teach, because we teach a gospel that can be investigated. I'll keep moving here. This is another setting, and I don't remember how many people, 500 or 600 people or so were at this one, but we set up these gospel meetings so that we can have a gathering. We rent a school. I think this cost us about $100 a day, so we were there maybe 4 days. And we had facilities that we could feed people and so forth. And these are people here all related to the Church of Christ or a relative of someone who is a member of the Lord's church. This is Mozambique. A church in Mozambique. I had been trying to get to these brethren for about 6 or 7 months. When we first came over, there was an earthquake, and the earthquake caused a lot of damage. There was a lot of loss of life, and the roads and so forth were treacherous. And in order to travel there, even on the good dirt roads, it's about a 6 or 7 hour trip from Lilongwe, which is where we live. We're expecting to meet with about 50 brethren, and we ended up having about 200. This is the grouping of people that we were meeting with. I'll just keep going. This is just another group that we had, that's the same setting. This is the meeting that Brother Kraft was at in an area called Namatete. Namatete is a district that's maybe 45 minutes or so from Lilongwe, which is where we live. We try to do everything formally. We have brochures made up. We have signs. We have people canvassing the villages, and the village, you know, could be easily 100 square miles where people are living. So we try to get to everybody and get them out. And I think I told Brother Kraft that we were expecting maybe about 400 or 500 people, and we ended up with, was 800? How many? 866 people. We tell you these numbers because it's important to know that you can't just throw things together, that you got to always be working for the next thing. And this is besides, you know, sitting down and having Bible studies with families and with dignitaries and so forth. Some of the things that we hope to happen next year, and I mind you, our elders has asked us not to get involved with politics, but we have been invited to speak to Parliament. And I already know what I'm going to talk about, if God blesses me to do it. I'm going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to talk about many of the things that a man has in his mind that he wants to do because he is looking to gain an advantage over another man. African politics has a way of not listening to donor nations who send their money in to do good. I want people to consider that you're going to answer for these things, that God, one day, you'll stand before him, and for all the evil that you have done, You're going to have to explain yourself. And to be honest, there won't be much explaining to do. So I want you to think about these things before you get there. Because once you're there and judgment is to be passed, it's too late. There's no opportunities to change. So hopefully and prayerfully, we'll be able to get into the offices of many individuals within the government and have Bible studies with them. We don't run from challenges like that because we study the Word of God and we're able to teach and preach what thus saith the Lord from the Scriptures. In the prison system, this is an area that we work in here within this congregation as well. Maola Prison is perhaps one of the most notorious prisons in the world. It was, and it's changed slightly, but it was nothing uncommon for people to stay there until they die. And for the ones who never repented, either joined a religious organization, they would let them die outside like animals. There was a guy we actually saw when we came in one Saturday, and we said, well, he's sick. Can somebody take him to the infirmary? And the warden said, no, he lived like a dog, and we're going to let him die like a dog. He was evil, and he never made any attempt to change. You know, so that's real prison life. This is one of our brothers who was converted in prison, Peter Chaola. Peter had been in prison 10 years and 2 days, and he served every minute of his time. And during that 10 years, Pete had only eaten Nsema, which is pop, as some people call it in South Africa. It's really a corn, finely ground, and it looks like potatoes. For 10 years, his brother had eaten that. So we were able to get him out. Well, he did his time. We picked him up. We brought him, and we brought him to lunch, fed him a good meal. We gave him bus money, and we gave him a little pocket change so that when he got to where he was going, that he wouldn't be received within his family penniless. That's why I asked the elders to allow me to take this small amount of money for myself and then to put this money over here in the Malawi Working Fund. Why should I pay taxes on money I'm giving away? This is the creative aspect of handling and managing money. And I think it has worked out very well for the people of Malawi because I do certain things with that money that I couldn't come to the church and ask the church to provide those monies. But those are my monies that I have put over there. Now, if you decide to give money to the Malawi Working Fund, you tell us what you'd like to have bought with it or what you'd like to have it used for, and we would do everything in our power to accommodate your desires. But I can't see paying taxes on something that's being given away, which the government permits. So the reason we have the Malawi Working Fund is so that those who would like to contribute and have a tax-deductible contribution, that can be accomplished through that. Now, there are a lot of other good causes you can give to. You don't have to just give to the Malawi Working Fund. But just know that if you do, we're going to use the money, as you say, or in the best interest of the work of our Lord, okay? Peter Chaola. These are two more young men who, according to both of them, they were best friends, did every day of their time. They worked at a computer company. One night, someone came in and stole a bunch of computers, and they were accused of it. And both of them say, we didn't do it. And basically what they say is that it was an inside operation from somebody. But they still ended up doing the, I want to say 8 years and some days. We did the same thing for them. I gave them a little pocket change. They get a Bible and a songbook. And we try to make contact with the local congregation in their home village. This is the chaplain of the Maola prison system. This is a person who's been very instrumental in working with us. I don't know how many religious organizations are part of that group, I'm going to say maybe even as far as a couple of hundred. But we talked to him about doing certain things that could enable the word of God to be heard by a number of people. And he set up an event for us. So when Greg Chandler came, Greg was the lead person in that particular event. And I'll share that with you in just a moment. Another young man who completed his prison time, he's a Christian. His wife came from the South to escort him home. And the person who is with him, that's Brother Austin Gunwee. He and I spend quite a bit of time in that prison audience. Food. After the floods and the earthquake, our brethren needed help. There was money in the Malawi Working Fund for that. So we went, we bought the maize, the corn, and we distributed it to our brethren. This is a truck that it's on. We have some brethren in Mozambique, and the only way you can get to Mozambique without having to travel actually about 6 hours around to get to the site where we're going is to use these hollowed out logs in order to get there. And in that boat, I think there's 10 bags of maize weighing just over 100 pounds, and there's some more on the side. And we ship that all over to our brethren. We have them distribute it, and our brethren are fed from the efforts out of that Malawi Working Fund. This is another one of our brethren who came to us for some assistance, a wonderful man. His name is James, and James is blind. James wanted us to help him with the next 4 months of food. So normally a bag of maize lasts him for a month. So we actually bought maize for him through February. Now the growing season, the planting season is also starting. So this blind man, he does his own rows, he digs, he mixes a fertilizer, he plants the seed, he does the watering and so forth, and he expects to have a bumper harvest this spring. It will be sometime in April when the harvest comes in. Now, this is something that may not interest anybody, but when I found out about it, it was an interest to me. This is some small power plants that are being set up all over Malawi. This is a project of our president, President Donald Trump. President Trump has these power plants going over all over the country. You never hear anything about this, at least from the American media. But what he is doing, he is having a direct counter effect to some of the things that the Chinese government is doing. One of the problems we have as residents of Malawi is that we have power issues. So the American tax dollars are being used to build these power plants all over, and he is not permitting any Chinese parts to be used. If you're not a European country or an ally, you cannot have your products go into this particular project. I just think it's a wonderful thing because it's already making a difference, you know, among the lives of people who are out in the villages. And let's see. Now, for Greg Chandler, this is the last part. I told somebody to do this in 25 minutes, and I'm rushing to get it done. Now, okay, the Malawi prison system is perhaps the worst prison system in all of Africa. The chaplain came by and he told me one Saturday I was there. This was probably a month, 6 weeks ago. He said, Mr. Vincent, I want to tell you that since 20 July, this place just hadn't been the same. Well, I don't know what 20 July meant. You know, so I said, oh, okay. So we spent about another 15 minutes together. He said, I would love to have that preacher that you guys brought over. I'd love to have him back. You mean Brother Chandler? He said, yes, that's the one. Well, let me tell you what he did. Not what Brother Greg did yet, but the way things were set up by this chaplain, we had asked him to give us a spot on the grounds so that we could actually preach the gospel and more people could hear us. So he gave that to us. He gave us a prominent spot on the prison grounds. We rented tents, and we also rented a speaker system and so forth, chairs. And Greg was the one who did the preaching. And we had two other preachers before Greg, and they were preaching about the one church and the Bible church that was established in Jerusalem in AD 33. So when everything was done, the chaplain, he had said, you know, I don't know why we invited the media, because normally they don't invite the media. They invited television and radio. You know, so everything that Greg was saying was going out live on the radio. It was recorded to be ran back on the television later, and I understood that it had several showings on the television. But what the chaplain said, he said, man, things have changed since the 20th of July. And that he meant that when people talk about the Word of God and they're Christians, they understand now that not everybody who said, you know, Lord, Lord, is really part of God's family. I wonder why is this happening to us, other than because of the prayers of righteous people like you all, and the fact that the elders took a chance on somebody like me and allowed me an opportunity to go to Africa and to preach the gospel of Christ. As I was getting ready to go, the elders called me in for a meeting, and they said, we have agreed that you can go. So I'm saying, thank you. But everybody goes around the table, and they give me some advice. And then I think what Brother Maurice was chairing the meeting, and Brother Maurice, he said, you know, Larry, almost against my better judgment, I'm signing off on this. And I'm thinking, oh. He said, in the Bible, normally when we send people out, they always went out two by two. And you go in by yourself. And I just pray that that works out for you. Well, you know, I didn't think I was going out by myself because I already had knowledge of many people in Africa and many people knew me. But I think it has worked out to be a beautiful thing. When Greg Chandler got up and he preached his lesson, I think he had 20-something people to come and to put on Christ. But the beauty of that whole thing was that several thousand heard the gospel. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And it changed the hearts of some of those visiting chaplains who came from those other prisons just to see what Lilongwe was doing in Maula prison. And it made all the difference in the world. So when I found out what 20th of July meant, that it meant when Greg Chandler got up to preach the gospel of Christ in an open environment where people just stopped doing what they were doing and they came and they sat down and they listened to the gospel. The chaplain told me, he said, you know, we've had to do that for another religious organization. They came to us and they demanded that you did it for the Church of Christ, so you got to do it for us. He said, well, it was basically just a concert. That's all it was. There was no teaching like it was on 20 July. So I want to say, you may not see what's happening, but the fact that you send visitors to visit us, man, you're raising our profile, not just me, but the Church of Christ. You're raising the profile of the Church of Christ in a part of the world where we're really not known that well. Mozambique, Zambia, we have established a total of 7 churches. 820-something people have been baptized. This year, we didn't spend a whole lot of time trying to baptize people. We spent our time trying to teach those who are already Christians and those who have been baptized to educate them in the gospel of Christ and the ways of our Lord. So that is basically what we came to tell you this afternoon. The way things happen in the world sometimes affect the way things are done in the church. There is an elder in Lilongwe that we deal with who is a diplomat. And I have to explain to him, I'm a preacher. I think everybody would like to be liked. But as a preacher in the Church of Christ, it's more important to me to preach the gospel the way it is written in the scriptures, than as opposed to being a diplomat. Diplomats want people to like them. In the Bible, you see most of the preachers could care less if you like them, because they were dedicated to the cause of Christ. And that's what you have in me, and that's what you have in those who come and visit us. And I just want to say thank you for what you have done. Now, to close our lesson out, we thank you so much for everything that you've done to help us. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate so much the money and so forth that you have invested in us. And we believe that we're giving you a return on your investment. We think that after our death, that perhaps that would be a pattern where someone can go to Africa and just copy some of the systems that we're setting in place. But one thing that I can tell you, for those who are members of the Lord's church, God expects certain things out of us. He expects our behavior to even to be above reproach. And not to say that you're going to agree with everything another brother does, and not the fact that this brother may do something that you might consider wrong, and he may not know that it's wrong. But the point here is that God has given us the Bible. And unless we consult the scriptures, we ourselves may have gate trouble. I know that I'm forceful when I talk about the one Lord, the one faith, and one baptism. But I'm convinced that the church that was established in Jerusalem is the place where salvation exists. You can join every organization on the face of the earth that you want to, because those things are man-made. But you can't join the church of Christ. You have to obey the gospel as it has been set forth in the scriptures. And once you obey the gospel, the Bible tells us that you are added to the church. If we have someone among our audience this evening who do not know our Lord as one who is able to save man and to set his soul free, you can come to know our Lord today by obeying his word. You've heard a portion of the gospel. Do you believe that what you've heard is true? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Are you willing to be baptized to have your sins washed away?